minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Good afternoon, hooligans. This is the Hull Show, powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. I was off. Well, not off, but the last couple of days, because we were at CSU Media Days on Tuesday, and for the first time since I've been around, UNC's media coverage or media days on Wednesday. So that was pretty fun to get out and about and listen to coaches, listen to players. I mean, I always get excited. You know, you're sitting down talking to players, you're talking to coaches, and they all seem great. They're saying the right things. They're monsters of men. And you're thinking, wow, these guys are going to be great. And, you know, you just don't really know until you get out on that field. Until September 3rd gets here for both Colorado State, of course, playing South Dakota State in Fort Collins, and the University of Northern Colorado playing CU on Friday. That Friday night's going to be booming, man. I mean, high school sports will be rocking. You're going to have the Buffs and the Bears playing each other. You're going to have the Rams getting their first game going. It's exciting times. A lot of COVID updates and all that. We'll kind of get to the latest with CSU as far as what they're allowing fans to do. Kelly Lyle, he'll join us at the bottom of this hour. We'll talk to Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffs, in the second hour. Missed catching up with him yesterday, so we rescheduled that for today. And, yeah, I mean, it's going to be great. It's going to be awesome getting into all this football talk and all of it, man. Broncos, Vikings on Saturday. They've been in their joint practice. And the more you hear about it, man, about as far as Jerry Jeudy, he's lighting it up. He's just absolutely lighting it up. So we're gonna talk about all of that throughout the course of the day today, but I do got to get to our First Advantage hotline. Our First Advantage text line is 970-478-1301. Our Power to Play Sports poll question is available. I think this is a fun one because we're talking quarterbacks here. And, you know, we have a heavy focus on all things Broncos, Colorado State, UNC. We dabble with the Buffs, I would say. It's too hard for Colfax to get down there every day. But we do dabble. So we're throwing them in the mix. And that quarterback, there's a quarterback battle kind of going on there. So I threw it up there. Which quarterback are you most excited to see this football season? That's available at thewholeshow.com. And this one has gone back and forth. There are two clear favorites here. But here's the list. Drew Lock, Teddy Bridgewater, CU's Brendan Lewis, or CU's JT Shrout. He could win the job. The transfer, of course. He could win the job. UNC's Dylan McCaffrey, or CSU's Todd Senteo. Toddy Senteo. Are you looking right now, Colfax? Do you have any guesses as to who's leading? This one's gone back and forth. There's two at the top that have been there all morning.
I just saw.
Yeah.
But
it's CSU's Todd Senteo right now.
That's a little surprising. I would have taken...
Well, Dylan was leading by far this morning. And now it's Todd Senteo. It just depends. I mean, few Rams listeners get a hold of this thing. They share it. It goes viral. We're used to going viral here. It happens all on a regular basis. Whatever. It's the whole show, after all. But yeah, we already know. We've seen Teddy Bridgewater. How old is he now? I mean, we've seen that act. Why is... I mean, I threw NFL College, and yeah, it's the only show that's going to do that. But the fact is, nobody's excited about Drew Lock or Teddy Bridgewater. I mean, CU's JT Shrout is in last place, and that's rightfully so because it's probably going to be Brendan Lewis. Then it's Teddy Bridgewater, Drew Lock, Brendan Lewis, Dylan McCaffrey, Todd Senteo. To me, that kind of makes sense. Although, I'm a little shocked that Dylan McCaffrey's not leading this thing at this point. But we have a good Rams listener base. We have a good Bears listener base. But so I'm asking, like, even Rams fans, are you excited to see Todd Senteo? Are you? I like the kid, man. He's awesome. Great meeting with him. Coach Addazio kind of bristles up when you ask about him. I think there was a reporter there at Media Day on Tuesday that asked, you know, I don't know how the question was phrased, but are you kind of concerned that he, about last year, you know, he didn't exactly light it up? And Adazi was like, dude, he only played in one game, and then he had injuries, and he kind of got, he got a little bristly. He got a little bristly, a little defensive about his guy. Well, and he did bring a transfer in. So it's not like the craziest thing in the world to be a little concerned. He, now, Adazio has made interesting comparisons for Todd, Tim Tebow being one of them, Cam Newton being one of them. So, I mean, those are amazing comparisons. If you can get a Tim Tebow type, you know, level, then I think Rams fans would be excited about that. So go ahead and vote. We got the Lonster on the line. Lonster, which quarterback are you most excited to see this football season?
You know, I'm going to go with the CU, whoever gets the CU quarterback job.
So either Brendan Lewis or JT Trout. Is that just because you're more excited to see what the Buffs can do, or what?
Yeah, I am, because I think this is a team that wants to go back and maybe go and see if they can get back into the playoffs again.
All right, what's the spread? Oh, getting to the play, like CU going to the playoffs, like that good, getting to the playoffs?
Yeah, because I think they're chomping at the bit to go to see what they, because they couldn't quite do, they got in there last year. And I'll tell you, I think they want to get back in there again.
This being, what, they 4-1 last year. Didn't get a whole lot of games out of them, but yeah, in the short sample size that we had, small sample size that we had, yeah, you got to, I mean, take certainly a positive.
Yeah, really. And then I want to see them take care of Texas A&M and a few other teams, too.
Yeah, well, hey, they got to take care of UNC first off, right?
You know what? I think UNC can maybe give them a good run for it. You know?
What do you think that spread's going to be? Any idea?
You know, I don't. It's just going to be fun. I'd say maybe 20 or 14.
So what I think's interesting, if UNC can, let's just say it's 20, if they can cover that spread, don't you walk away going, wow, the Bears are maybe turning this thing around.
You really do. And I'll tell you what, maybe Ed can maybe go on and surprise his team, which I think he can too a little bit, you know.
It's an interesting dynamic, and I'll talk more about it in a moment. Lonster, what's for lunch today, man?
Oh, I had a smoked turkey sandwich and with honey mustard and chili Fritos.
Oh, I like those.
Yeah. And pickles and tomatoes and Roquefort cantaloupe.
Lonster, I have spicy pickles. I do, out of my own garden, my friend. I will bring you a jar sometime.
You know what? I'd like to get together with you sometime.
Yeah, I will bring the pickles. You bring the hot sauce.
You know what? You got a deal. We can do. We can work that out. You know?
All right, man. Thanks for calling.
Hey, for sure.
You definitely get this vibe. Okay, so yesterday, you know, it's Ed, Max McCaffrey, who kind of just slid under the radar as the offensive coordinator. You know, and then, of course, Dylan. They all kind of sat up. First off, let me just say this. Hats off to both programs for setting up a fun media day. I liked both styles. They were both different. CSU kind of set it up where Coach Adazio speaks for 30-so minutes, and then they kind of just bring in, they stagger players, and they set them up at tables, and you can just walk up and ask them stuff. I like that style. That's pretty cool. And then UNC, They kind of opened it up to everybody. So they had their soccer coach with two of their players starting this off. They had Lindsay Oates, the volleyball coach, and a couple of her players. And then they had Ed McCaffrey by himself, and then Max McCaffrey and Scott Darnell, the defensive coordinator, and then several players throughout the process. So I thought that was good, too. You know, they had a mix between transfers and guys that have been there a little while. So it was fun. I mean, listen, I asked Ed McCaffrey, and we'll play this clip later. Or do we have it? Do we have the expectations clip? I asked Coach McCaffrey, I said, hey, what are your realistic expectations? Because I think some fans just want to see Eddie Mack on the field. They're not necessarily looking at wins. Here was Ed McCaffrey's response.
We go on if you didn't win a championship. I think if you're not setting your goals high and if people are laughing at them, they're not high enough. Like, what are you here for? So that's what we want to do. We want to win every game and win a championship. But as a coach of young student athletes, I want them to have a great experience regardless. I want them to learn what it means to be an adult, to be a man, to take care of their business, to do well in school, to give back in the community, and most importantly, learn how to summon their greatness within and give everything they have for their teammates, to be part of something bigger than themselves. Really, that's what they will take with them into life, whatever they decide to do. after football. But on the field, yeah, we want to win every one-on-one battle. We want to win every game, and we want to play as best as we possibly can.
He's got that part down, doesn't he? I mean, you listen to him talk, and you do talk to these players, and I don't know, you feel like there's a little buzz. And again, we don't know anything until we see it all on the field, but these guys are having fun. I mean, listen, this is the first time we've ever done a media day like this for UNC. It just is. And I'll say it right now, Colfax, there were more media members in Greeley yesterday than there were in Fort Collins. That's the power of McCaffrey right now. This is an opportunity for the Bears as a program to get, and they are, to get behind this program to where they can grow this thing beyond Eddie Mack. And that's going to be tough, but if you can establish this program now, get some, you know, they're getting that facility done, the field and all that stuff. I mean, again, there's a lot of work to be had, to be done for UNC. But this is that start. This kind of interjects some life for a program that has not had it for so very long. I'm still kind of shocked by the rankings, but it is what it is. UNC Big Sky Conference rankings had them at, the media poll. Do I have it wrong? The media poll had them in last, the coaches poll had them in second last, or maybe it's the other way around? Either way, not good, right? I just thought for sure Dylan McCaffrey would do enough for people to kind of go, I could see them winning enough games to stay in the, you know, out of the complete basement. Dylan's extremely well-spoken. He's excited. He spoke on the transfer portal a little bit, and I agree with exactly how he phrased it. Tweeted out his response yesterday, and a few people were, these spoiled kids in transfer. I mean, you look at some of these guys, like, look at Dylan. He's going to get a play. He said it yesterday. He said, you know, sometimes it's just not the right fit for you. And coaches get to, I mean, he didn't say this, but I'm adding, coaches get to move on if it's not the right fit. Coaches get fired, they move on, what have you. Dylan's going to be a starter for the University of Northern Colorado, where he would have been third or fourth string in Michigan. And yet, Dylan's the bad guy. Why is that? Why would you even, I mean, come on. He's transferring because he's getting an opportunity, whereas he wasn't going to get that opportunity. You only live so long, Colfax. You only play this game for so long. And if you think you can be a starter at a smaller school, then why wouldn't you take that opportunity? I mean, what would you rather? If you're a football guy, Colfax, would you rather? He's got 2 years left of eligibility. Would you rather start for the University of Northern Colorado for 2 years, assuming he stays, or would you rather be a third string quarterback for Michigan for the next 2 years, and then that's it? You get to say you went to Michigan. You ain't going anywhere else.
No, I'm good on that last one. I'll take the first one.
You want to start?
Of course.
So, I mean, people get mad and say they're spoiled. It's like, what are you talking about here? This young man made a decision. Yeah, his dad's there. That helps a little bit. But he was going to transfer anyway because he wants to play. And I think that Sam Neuer for CU, he saw the writing on the wall. Brendan Lewis, JT Shrout, those guys are going to be the guys that get the majority of the snaps. I'm probably not going to win this quarterback battle. So he transfers to Oregon State. And now he's going to have an opportunity to start. So, I mean, what are we talking about here? We just want to lock these guys down. Anyway, I loved his response to that. I'm very excited to see. Brooks Talkington was there, the redshirt junior on the D-line. He is fun to listen to. He's got that Texas accent. And he's like, I just want to bury people in the dirt. I don't know if that's PC or anything. Anyway, it's just fun to listen to the players more and more. And UNC, you know, we get players on this program too, but it's fun to kind of get them together because I think they're a little more confident when they're together and they're answering it as a group. So that was awesome. Just getting a chance to sit and listen to some of these guys. RJ Potts was there, who we've had on this program. I mean, you get excited. Same with, up north in Fort Collins. You do tend to get a little excited, but we're not going to know anything until they hit the field. 20 minutes after the hour, Drew Locke is starting Saturday. Teddy Bridgewater is starting the next game. Saturday, man, I know it's a preseason game. It's the first one for Denver, so that'd be exciting anyway. But it is kind of exciting. Hell with kind of exciting. I'm going to be glued to that television for as long as Drew Lock and Teddy Bridgewater are in that thing. This game has got a lot of meaning behind it, so looking forward to it Saturday. 20 minutes after the hour. We'll take a short break. When we come back, let's get more into this poll question. Let's talk about the quarterbacks. Let's see what does our class look like here? Drew Lock, Teddy Bridgewater, Brendan Lewis, JT Shrout, Dylan McCaffrey, Toddy Senteo. I mean, where are we as far as a grade of that group collectively? Because like it or not, those are our quarterbacks to discuss. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios.
It's Eaton Day and 13 days, 13 teams presented by Gould Parts. A full football preview begins at 5 p.m. on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Hear Mornings with Gale, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network. And you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Right, 25 minutes after the hour, welcome back to the show. It's The Whole Show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Shout out to Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies. OCR Sports Medicine Physicians have been the official orthopedic group for the Colorado Eagles since 2003, providing team and game coverage at every home game. They couldn't be more proud to be a part of the Colorado Eagles organization. That's Orthopedic Spine Center, Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies. Their website is orthohealth.com. I love this place because I've been there before. This is well before I started going to Rev Chiropractic. I jacked up my shoulder somehow, and I couldn't lift anymore. Could barely turn it. Sleeping was even killing me. But I went there years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, and they gave me a lot of different therapies that I could do. Haven't had any issues with that shoulder ever since. Then it was the back that started creeping in. That's where Rev Chiropractic came in. So thankful to have great local businesses in the area that can keep you upright. First Advantage text line 970-478-1301. 13 days, 13 teams continuing on, man. That has been a blast. Tonight is all things Eaton Reds. And so I love this. We all kind of put our heads together years ago and said, man, let's provide some training camp coverage and get people pumped up for the high school season around here. So we did just that. We got it rolling, and man, it's really grown into something else. So if you want a full schedule, go to 1310kfk.com, find the sports programming tab. There you'll find 1313 Football Edition. And you can download the podcast from the night before. So this is day 4 already, and Clark is keying in on all things Eaton Reds. And I got to say this, too. Clark Johnson, Bruce Dick, the coach, that program that airs right before us, if you haven't had a chance to hear it, if you want some preps in the area, and maybe even a little more, that show is awesome. It's a great lineup we have here locally. Local lineup, Mornings with Gale, keeping you rolling throughout the day. Of course, NoCo Now, Tanner Schwint's going to hit you up with the big news surrounding our area, both sports, news, and anything, really. And then Clark and the coach. And this program and the good afternoon guy, Brian Gary, just absolutely bringing the heat each and every day, except for his take on Teddy Bridgewater. It's just, I guess Teddy won the day yesterday, is what they're saying. Practice. Training camp is important. The start to the preseason game is triple that. So if Locke can get out there on Saturday, whoo, man, and toss a touchdown pass and maybe go 5 of 6, 78 yards. He's only going to play for, I don't know, does he play the entire first quarter? We're going to get our guy Zach Stevens on the program tomorrow, and we'll talk to him about that, but that's going to be interesting, man. I cannot wait for that game. We're always in a quarterback battle, though. Ever since Manning, every first preseason game is interesting. Last year, it was just Drew Lock. Year before that, Joe Flacco. Oh, man, we want to see how he's going to perform. Year before that, Case Keenum. And the year before that was the Trevor Siemian, Paxton Lynch quarterback battle. The depth chart has been, at least the first depth chart for the Broncos has been set, and it looks like a college football depth chart, because you always see the quarterback position, You know, last year, remember, it was Patrick O'Brien or Todd Senteo. Well, you got that for some of these positions. At the quarterback, it's Teddy Bridgewater or Drew Lock. If you really want to start reading in between the lines, why was Teddy's name listed first? Well, alphabetically, if you want to go last name alphabetically, Teddy wins with Bridgewater over Lock because B starts before L. If you want to start with the first name, then that doesn't hold water because Drew, D is before T, Colfax. This is an ABC lesson, my friend. So you got a Teddy Bridgewater or Drew Lock. And then the right tackle position, that's another big question mark, and that's why it's given the respect of putting an or next to it. Calvin Anderson and Bobby Massey at the right tackle. So there's a few ors on the offensive side. On the defensive side, I don't see it. It's pretty full, but I mean, I guess to me, what I've been hearing the most, Patrick Surtain is absolutely lighting it up against the Vikings in these joint practices, and Jerry Jeudy is embarrassing people. I mean, man, what does this mean for Courtland Sutton already? I know this was going to be a contract year, and Sutton's a number one. But I'm telling you, man, if you guys get on Twitter much, it is the Jerry Jeudy show. Teddy Bridgewater said, that man is terrifying. He's a scary guy. I mean, the moves he's putting on people, it's Drew Lock said it. He's like, man, it's like he's already got five or six moves planned before we snap the ball. He's that quick. He's smart. And I'm pumped to see that, too. 30 minutes after the hour, we will switch gears. We're going to talk some CSU Rams. They got the mask mandate for fans. What does that mean for you guys? We'll talk to Kelly about that and a little bit more on the quarterback side. His thoughts on Media Day and Coach Adazio's responses to some of the questions. We'll get to all that and more. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Want the whole sports story in Northern Colorado, the state and the country? Tune into The Hull Show, weekdays noon to 2 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Jeff Linder, head men's basketball coach of the University of Wyoming Cowboys, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour, welcome back to the show. This is The Hull Show, powered by PDC Energy, live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. With me now on the First Advantage Hotline, Kelly Lyle of the Fort Collins Coloradoan. Kelly, a lot to digest from CSU's Media Day the other day, and of course the news yesterday. Joe Parker put out a letter to fans, kind of giving them the rundown of what it looks like in the arena or at the stadium and everything. But basically, masks. That's what we're kind of looking at least for the fans at this point.
At this point, they haven't said masks will have to be worn outdoors in the stadium. At this point, it's just for indoor seating areas. So, yes, I'm sure you and I will be wearing them up in the press box and in the elevators and in interview rooms and fans and sitting in luxury suites and stuff like that. They have not yet announced a requirement for masking outdoors. That could still come, but at this point, that's not the case. Certainly volleyball at Moby Arena, people will be asked to wear masks. And Kevin Lytle and myself were at a kind of meet the team media event last night, and along with a bunch of boosters, and we were all wearing masks. So that's just kind of the way it's going to be, I guess, at this point. And we'll see where it goes. And, you know, the fear is that it's going to keep getting more restrictive and that they're going to have to maybe start doing some social distancing or limit attendance. But at this point, there are no plans for any of that. Plans still call for full attendance. They're just going to make you wear masks some of the time, and that may extend to the outdoor areas in the stadium, too, because of the size crowds involved. It hasn't yet, but that could happen. So it's a little bit, you know, certainly a better situation than we were in at this time last year, but when there wasn't even going to be a football season at this point, to where we are now. But, you know, it is a little concerning that things are maybe moving in the wrong direction again, and what that could mean for our hopes of a return to normal football this fall may be a little more delayed than we were hoping.
Yeah, well, and the other thing, you know, like you said, the trend certainly is alarming. Do you see, Kelly, and I know you're more on the sports side of things, but just judging by the people you've talked to, even folks at the Coloradoan, could there be potential in the next, you know, couple of weeks where this reverses back, where it is more or less so you don't have to wear a mask? Or do you think that this is going to be the case for the fall, regardless of what trends, positive or negative, we see?
I think they're probably going to follow the science, and if case counts keep getting worse, hospitalizations keep increasing, then we're then we're probably going to go to more strict requirements again. We might be back to reduced seating capacity in restaurants or closing them all together, movie theaters, that kind of stuff, and then that's going to get really awkward for everybody and for sports too. At the same time, I know for a fact that the county, at least in Larimer County, has been very, very clear, as has CSU, that we can just get these reluctant people that are uncomfortable or unwilling to get vaccinated. We could make a lot of progress pretty quickly.
Kelly Lyle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado. Yeah, it'll all be interesting. We're still covering COVID alongside the sports world. But we did have the CSU Media Day the other day. And boy, Kelly, Addazio, as we know, you can ask a question. He's going to take you for a ride.
Well, yeah, I don't know if that's his way to not answer as many questions in 30 minutes or what, but he does like to give some long-winded answers. And, there are coaches that are worse. I'm told that Brian Harsin once, when he was at Boise State, basically went 30 minutes on a two-question interview session. So, Steve Addazio is nowhere near that, but sometimes when you're especially when I'm listening back to some of those on tape, I'm like, wow, he went on for a really long time. It was seemed like a pretty simple question. So I don't know if that's good or bad. Sonny Lubick did a little bit of that too. So that's, there's no harm in that. Generally, they give you more information than you were seeking with the question you ask. And that's never a bad thing when you're a media member wanting to know a little more. But it is different maybe than, Mike Bobo was probably a little more straightforward. As was Jim. Well, Jim McElwain went off on tangents that didn't have anything to do with the question. So at least Addazio usually still kind of sticks with the general theme of the question.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, I'm entertained by it right now, and we'll see. But it does seem, he can get bristled a little bit. I know that the quarterback question sounded a little defensive about Todd Senteo. Somebody had asked a question there on Tuesday, kind of what his thoughts were, if he was concerned by any of the, some of the performance last year. And Coach Addazio was quick to remind us, of course, that he didn't play a whole heck of a lot. But you can sense it. He's a little bit defensive of his at least starting quarterback for the time being.
Yeah, I think so. And I think he's a little defensive of his whole program at this point, partly because, in all fairness, as he said, four games just is not fair to judge anybody or anything on, especially four games with the interruptions they had, the preparing for eight games but only playing four, preparing for eight opponents but only playing four. And then you've got a brand new coaching staff and trying to blend your staff, your players with the existing players that were here before, transfers coming and going. I get it. There's the level of chaos, honestly, in this program as they've been trying to adjust has probably been pretty tough. And so I'm sure that that's the question that Steve Addazio has been asked more than any other. And he doesn't feel like Todd Senteo got a fair shake last year to show what he can do. And so I think it does bother him a little. I think he almost sees it as like a personal attack, both on Todd Senteo for not being a better quarterback, maybe, and on him and his staff for not having a better quarterback than what we saw in that limited action. So it's going to be very fascinating to see. Maybe we all did misjudge Todd Senteo. It's a tough one. I know Todd himself said I talked to him for quite a while, and he's very disappointed with what he put on the field last year, but he also, was playing with three different injuries. So that definitely affected his ability to play the position some.
Yeah, well, he's fun to talk to, that's for sure. It was exciting to sit down with him. A lot of these guys were really fun to sit and listen to. Of course, talking to Barry Wesley, Scott Patchen, Trey McBride, just some of these studs of the team. Kelly, I always say it, man, everything sounds great on Media Day. I was at UNC Media Day yesterday, and you just want to believe that they're going to win every game and everybody's going to be rocking it, but it's just so hard to know until they get on the field.
It's baseball spring training, hope springs eternal.
Yes.
Every team's going to win the World Series on day one of spring training, and every team's going to win the national championship on Football Media Days in August. But obviously, then when you know the rubber hits the road and they start playing the games, it gets a little bit different. But we'll see. You know, this team certainly has some personalities. You mentioned a few of them. They've got some talent, but I was telling somebody today, you know, I've seen teams win Mountain West titles with one guy that was a potential NFL player, and I've seen Colorado State teams that had five guys go into the NFL finish 3-9. So, it you know, that alone, the individual talent alone is not going to win enough games for you to fix a bad program. You're going to have to do some other things, and, you know, Steve Addazio really plays up the teamwork thing. I just talked to two players after practice today, that Cam Butler and Matt Valecci, that are both, you know, they're very much on how much Coach Addazio really pushes the team aspect above the individual. And, you know, so we'll see where that goes. That also means if, you know, he's a little less willing to single out individual players, although he has told us he has the best tight end in the country, the best punter in the country, and the best long snapper in the country. So, and maybe even the best kicker in the country. I can't remember where that one progression stopped. So, but there's certainly some talent on this Colorado State football team and some great characters, great personalities, but still putting it all together and winning games on Saturdays in the fall is a little different than talking to them on media day in August.
Yeah, there's no question about it. There's some good players. Obviously, guys like McBride, Stonehouse, Patch, and you know, NFL futures, perhaps. Trey McBride, for sure. South Dakota State, September 3rd, though. That, I mean, there's a lot of pressure on that game, Kelly. I mean, when you look at where we are, you know, versus that opponent and the FCS side of things, and I know they're a decent program. They're more than decent. But at the end of the day, you expect to win that. If you lose that game, don't you feel like you're playing from several miles behind for the rest of the season?
Yeah, I think so. I think these first few games are going to really set a tone for the season. I think it's going to be really hard for this team, if they get off to a bad start, to bounce back and have a good conference season. Not that that's not impossible. Not, I mean, the reality in college football, they could go 0-4 in non-conference and run the table and still win the Mountain West. The reality is that doesn't happen. It's so much of a momentum game and a confidence game. This is a team that, in my mind, is probably a little light on confidence right now as far as winning football games on the field. And so I think this is a team that, boy, if they can beat South Dakota State, maybe Vanderbilt the week after, if they can get off to a, you know, a decent start, go 2-2 or 3-1 even in those first four games, let alone if they could somehow go 4-0, they could go on to some pretty good things. At the same time, a couple stumbles along the way, you start out, you lose one of those first two, or you go 1-3 in that preseason, or even, you know, 0-4 in those non-conference, it could get really ugly really quick.
Yeah, no question about it. Those first four games will certainly be interesting. And Kelly, when you look around, and I know I want to kind of dive into more of a Mountain West preview with you later as we get closer, but, you know, I mean, just that Mountain side of things, too. I mean, Boise State, even new coach side of things. Air Force, they should be still pretty darn good. They're, Wyoming, of course. I mean, there's going to be that conference is going to be pretty tough this year.
Yeah, I think so. I think the conference as a whole is probably improved. Again, you've got a lot of new, you know, a lot of first and second year coaches, period. So it's always a little difficult to tell how that's going to work. But Colorado State's one of those with a second year coach. So that doesn't really, they don't really have an edge over anybody else in that regard. And it's going to be really interesting to see how it pans out. But certainly, you know, as you mentioned, those teams that are going to be good. Air Force has all those players that took the setback last year that are back this year. I mean, that's like 30-some guys or over two dozen. I don't know what the final number was of guys that were playing and have experience that just chose to sit out last year. And they still put on a decent season without those guys. So I'm really curious to see what Air Force is going to present. Boise's always tough. I think Wyoming has improved, and I think Craig Bohl has really kind of built that team around his personality, and I think it's showing, you know. And so it's going to be interesting to see how it all pans out. It's not going to be an easy season for Colorado State by any means, but, you know, they have a chance to kind of set a new path themselves and have a bit of a breakout maybe. And if they do that, everything that everybody said all up to this point about Steve Addazio and being a career 500 coach, people will forget it in a hurry. If they start losing again, everybody's going to go, why'd they hire this guy?
Yeah, I mean, there's so much pressure on this season. I really feel that way. They're talking about the high hopes of, who knows, the Big 12, whatever. If there is a bunch of conference realignment, the Rams don't want to get left out in the cold. So there's importance on the next few seasons for sure. But just for Adazio to kind of prove everybody wrong, I mean, there's a lot to it. And it starts on September 3rd. Kelly, looking forward to it, my friend. What are you working on that we can check out the next couple of days?
Well, I'm trying to work on some longer term stories on some of these guys, get a little bit more into who these people really are. Some of these Colorado State players we're going to be following this year, more than just on the football field, but kind of, you know, a little bit more about their backgrounds. And of course that takes a longer time to report and do the interviews, but short term, I'm going to throw a quick thing in. I just got off the phone with Matt Valecci. Unfortunately, we weren't able to do it. Unfortunately, they had to rush into a team meeting, so even though they're not banning in-person interviews today, I wasn't allowed to do one. I had to do it over the phone after they finished their post-practice team meeting. But seems like, you know, he's a guy that came here. He didn't come here to be a backup to Todd Senteo, so he's pretty determined to go out and win the starting job. He says the offense is what he knows from Boston College, and you know, we'll see. Certainly he's going to have a major hurdle to overcome because his own coach has been pretty clear that the starter is Todd Senteo.
Yeah,
but,
right.
Matt Valecci's not buying that yet.
That's interesting. I mean, you got the Broncos who you know, might not make a decision until, you know, 5 years from now. You look over at the Rams, and Adazio's made the decision. Some of us are kind of like, could there have been a little bit of a competition for a week or two? But on one end, I kind of like knowing who the quarterback is before we get too deep into everything. So we shall see. Kelly, appreciate you, man. I'll be looking out for that article, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, we'll talk to you later.
Thanks,
bye.
Man. Yeah, Steve Adazio has been saying early. I mean, I think he said it last week at the beginning of practice. At the end of practice, I suppose, but the very first practice. He said, Todd's our guy. So, Valecci, is that actually a competition? No, it's not right now. It's Todd's job to lose at this stage of the season. And I don't know. Personally, I kind of like that, you know, where it's we're out here trying to figure out who the guy is so we can get used to him and build that up. And I think like Trey McBride saying things like, you know, we've been working together. We've been working together all off season, and we make plans to do that outside of practice. I think that is important too. All right, 50 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. We're going to wrap up hour number one. Let's go over to the UNC Bears. Learned a lot about this team yesterday and going to get out to some practice next week. We'll kind of make it a Bears week. But just how good can Dylan McCaffrey be? Can they really change the fate and turn this thing around in 2021? We'll be right back.
NoCo Now keeps you up to speed on what's happening on a local level. Weekdays at 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. What's happening in your own backyard? Listen to NoCo Now with Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA.
This is Kelly Lyle with the Fort Collins, Colorado, and your CSU Insider on The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. I do want to thank Mosier Funeral and Cremation Service for being a sponsor of this program. Services as unique as life. Live well, plan ahead. Give Scott Robin, a member of their great staff, a call today and talk to them about pre-planning. It's an amazing gift. 970-330-6824. 5 minutes, or 4 minutes until the top of the hour. We're also going to talk about a cool event that happens. It's been going on a couple years now. Weld Food Bank puts this on, Hops for Hunger, and we're going to talk to Weston Edmonds about that. We love here at KFKA working with Weld Food Bank. We got some cool things coming up later this fall as well. Just think bowling. That's all I'm going to throw out there for now. And it'll be exciting to talk to Weston, though, about all things Hops for Hunger, a beer event for a great cause. So we'll get some details from Weston in a few moments. We're also going to catch up with Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. So as soon as we get back, though, into the second hour, I want to talk about UNC. And they're just sitting there. The vibe that Ed McCaffrey, offensive coordinator now Max McCaffrey, quarterback Dylan McCaffrey, it's the McCaffrey trio, It's a very rare thing. I mean, I don't know. Maybe this is more common in smaller schools, Colfax, where, you know, I don't know if it would be. But this has got to be a pretty rare thing, right? Head coach, offensive coordinator, and quarterback. Father and two sons. It's absolutely insane. It's a really unique dynamic and one that I'm really excited to follow along throughout the course of the season. Second hour coming up next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We are live and local from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios, Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKN.